I never come to the bottom of this self and or not self, and I come to the point where I just give up. And my question is, should I worry?
Well, it's a you shouldn't worry, or at least if worry arises, to not buy into it and identify with it. It's really the big puzzle, because the experience of the present reality, that's the most real thing. That awareness of the present is the most real thing in everybody's life, I would say. But our attention goes to the objects, it goes to our body, our personal story, the objects around us and that we interact with. In the development of meditation, particularly Vipassana meditation, it becomes, for most people, it becomes more and more obvious that the one real, reliable quality is awareness. This awareness that knows thoughts and feelings, memories, sensations of the body arising and passing away. But that awareness has no form. It's not a thing. It's not female or male. It's not anywhere. It doesn't have an age. So that it feels like the center of what I am as a person, but it's not a person. It's completely non-personal, but it's also the most real quality that is apparent moment by moment. So it's a puzzle. In terms of the development of insight, there's that slow, steady shedding of the things that we usually identify with. Our name, our personal stories, our body, its sensations, the world around us. There's a letting go of identification. But in that, then the quality of awareness and that knowing becomes more and more kind of clear or uncluttered, unfettered. So there's definitely something here, something which is real, and that which we can say is awareness or knowing. But the more that the practice develops, the less that awareness can be identified as a person. It has less and less personal qualities. It doesn't have an age, doesn't have a gender, a nationality, a name. None of that really applies. The heart knows the qualities of the person, the citta. It knows the personal qualities, but it's not a person. In terms of intellectualizing around it, it's limited. But the main benefit of the meditation is clarifying that quality of awareness, of knowing, and not buying into a sense of diminution or a sense of loss. Like, if I'm not a person, what am I? So to the ego, that can be quite threatening. But if it's not looked at or felt from a ego-centered, you know, self-centered perspective, then the felt sense of that awake, aware quality is spacious, peaceful, bright, simple, uncluttered. The fact that we can't describe or name or claim that doesn't matter. Let's leave those habits aside and let the practice be a process of helping that awake, aware quality to be uncluttered, to be released, to be realized, to be actualized. That's my thesis on that. I use a phrase, this which knows the person is not a person. Quite often in the meditation, I will bring that up. This which knows the person is not a person. Just to to work against those personalizing habits. This is Ajahn Amaro. I am a Theravadan Buddhist. I am a man. I am English, and so on. But then that which is knowing Englishness isn't English. That which is knowing Theravada Buddhism isn't Buddhist. That which knows masculinity isn't male. So that as the practice develops, there's the shedding of those habitual identities. It's threatening to the ego, but liberating to the heart. The fact that there is that sort of, I'm not sure about this feeling along the way, in a sense, that's a sign that things are heading in a good direction. That there's old identities and habits are being challenged. And you know, the mind is ready to steadily gets more and more ready to let go of those things.
One follow-up question is very strongly against what we experience outside of immorality in work life. It's very strong identity. And to find a balance with this is quite challenging.
Indeed so, yes. Absolutely, because that who we are as a person, that's the worldly value. You know, what's your job? What are your qualifications? You know, what do you look like? You know, how old are you? Where are you from? How much money do you make? You know, all those kind of things are given value in worldly perspective. And so in the practice that is encouraged here, then there's actively trying to see through all of those and to not buy into them, but without rejecting or fearing or hating those, so that you can still function within those conventions, but are not limited or bound, burdened by those conventions. Do you have any comments or things to offer in that domain? Maybe you heard my description, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely the sense of... Because it, in the end, that identification is the glue that holds the suffering together. So that habit of identifying, it's that, you've got another chapter coming later with that Tamaja.
That's the next chapter, yes.
That's the next chapter, and it's a really important kind of practice to get one's mind around or perspective, that sense of being able to, and realizing that when we let go of identification, we're not diminished at all. We're actually sort of, wow, this is a place of safety, actually.
And I like to quote the Sufi poet Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi. He says, "When were you ever made any the less by dying?" That includes psychological deaths as well as physical deaths. Again, a little nugget, like, oh, from that place of clear wisdom, it's like, well, who is there to own anything? And what could possibly be lost? What could be diminished? Is Dhamma going to be diminished by a condition changing? How could it? It's ridiculous. It doesn't apply. So tapping into that perspective and developing what we would call right view is letting the mind, the heart, know things from that perspective. And so I like to use those kind of reflections in meditation. When were you ever made any the less by dying? Or this which knows the person isn't a person. And then just, even if it's just for a moment, it sort of shakes things up again. Oh. And then there's a realization, oh, this awareness, this is real, but it has no form. It's completely formless, it has no substance, but it's the one real thing. Oh. And that's that kind of moment of things being shaken up and the habitual structures being seen as empty or falling away. Then that's helping the citta to move towards a greater quality of clarity and also a greater security, just like, you know, the poor Prasanna was saying. It's ironic that letting go of our usual props brings security.